HR and total rewards in frontline companies often don't have a close connection or a direct line of sight to frontline staff. So how do we create benefits that these employees will really value? And how do we communicate the value of these benefits to the frontline staff? My name is Quasi Thomas, and today we're joined by Leslie Carver, CEO of Carver Connections. And we're going to talk about benefits and the frontline. And Leslie, welcome. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here.
Excellent. Can you tell me a bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm an HR consultant, a human resources consultant. I'm from Ohio, and I've been helping employees understand their benefits for over 20 years. And then I started my own company a few years ago because I wanted to help like small business owners and other HR professionals support their employees. So it's been kind of exciting to be able to branch out a little bit and take what I love doing and sharing it with others.
Nice, nice, nice. Welcome. I'm sure the transition from working corporate or working in a job to being independent was an interesting one. Tell me about that.
You know, it's so funny because I love connecting and helping people understand. Like that's my passion. And when I stumbled into HR, because I didn't, like that wasn't a career goal, actually. I didn't even know what it was until I had stumbled into it and someone gave me an opportunity. And I realized I loved it. I loved being able to do not all things HR, most things HR, like where it really was able to benefit employees. And then what I hated was like, whether it was the discipline side or the policy side, or, you know, I know it always comes with the job. And then I think during COVID, it caused everyone to just pause and evaluate or think about where they are in their life. And I'd always thought about having my own business. And my husband was the one who actually said, you know, you'll never be happy until you're working for yourself and doing the thing that you love, the thing that you're passionate about. And I realized, you know, you can always go back to work for someone else. Not that there's anything wrong with working for another company. But I think when God put something in my heart, that's what I was going to do. And I took a chance and I'm so glad I did. I haven't looked back. And it's just been so much better than I ever thought possible.
That's amazing. I'm very similar. I was in corporate and then decided to step out on my own.
Yeah.
Really, it's a scary transition. Probably.
Oh, absolutely.
I always tell people that the hard, is it really hard? I said it's hard, but it's probably more scary than hard, right?
Yes, so, I agree. I think it's scary because you kind of question so much, you know. So when it comes for me with HR, like I feel really comfortable and confident in that space. Well, then you throw all the other business stuff in there. And I don't know, I almost think like it makes me connect even better with other small business owners because I'm like, wow, you really took risks to get where you are. So yeah, I think it's awesome.
Totally, totally. So today we're talking a bit about frontline. Tell me what that means to me. It means to the people who are not desk bound, that the people who are out in front of a customer or on the road or on a site or in a retail store. It's the people who aren't, you know, at a desk. And for me, that's the, I know there are frontline, there are jobs that are at a desk or are still frontline. If you think of, you know, people on phone, if you're calling into the bank, into other things, but often those roles are sometimes far, far removed or further removed from us, right? From an HR, from sitting in corporate. And so really understanding how we communicate with them, how we design plans, how we design benefits that best match them. I'm hoping we can hop into that today. So in your own career, was there benefits that really made a difference for you personally?
You know, it's funny when I think about benefits, I feel like at my age, all of the benefits have made a difference at one time or another, you know, from being single to being married to being a mother. But I really kind of had to narrow it down. I would say, you know, definitely medical insurance, made a big impact. Also dental and vision and flexible spending. I think that's kind of a unique one that I think that's where I really discovered my love for benefits when I started realizing, you know, benefits are here to make an employee's life better. And you don't know what you don't know. So the more you dive into a certain benefit, the more you realize how it can impact you and make your own life a little bit better or a little bit easier.
Nice. Okay. I really like to appreciate the part you said at the top because I find when we're designing programs, especially things like benefits, you don't know what stage the person, like you've got employees in the full range of end stages of their life, whether that is going through, single to married to kids, whether that's going through partners, whether that's going through a sickness, a serious illness, right? And so you almost want to try to find a program that you know, it's very hard to narrow that down, but we're going to be great at one portion, right?
I think it's important to think about what season your employees are in. And that's different really for every employer and for every organization. So when I had the chance to talk with a company or talk with a business owner, I want them to know they never have to compare themselves to another employer or another organization. What they want to do is serve their employees the best that they can. So if you have this younger, single workforce, your primary, insurance or whatever it is could look a little differently than someone that has employees of all ages. And wherever you are, you're not committed there for the rest of your life. It's not this lifelong contract. This is our plan. We can never change it. Oh my gosh, you can change it every single year. There's so many options out there.
Recognition can be a great way to improve healthcare culture and retain more staff. Check out Employee Recognition for Healthcare, the complete guide to learn how to do it effectively. Go to get.gusto.com/healthcare to get your copy.
A lot of times with these, I can say with desk work, with people who are working at a desk versus frontline, it's already hard enough getting them to understand not even just the value, but what the program is and how it works, and that they even have it sometimes. Why do you think communication is so important to the actual benefit strategy?
Well, I think there's a few things that go into it. Like I said, I think that first piece was realizing, for me personally, I can say, to understand that the benefits that an employer offers is to enhance your life or to make your life a little bit easier in some way or another. So when you mention someone being sick, you really typically don't understand what your plan does until you have to use it. So I think the more that we can communicate to our employees, this is how the plan is designed. This is what you want to look for in making a decision in case an employer might offer multiple levels of coverage or different options there. They need to understand what they're looking at. It's kind of like if you were going to go buy a car, there is a difference whether it's a Lexus or I can't even think of like a low-end kind of vehicle, but whether you get a vehicle that is completely stripped down with, like my husband's first truck didn't even have a radio. And I can remember buying this new truck without a radio or just, little things like that. So you need to know what those features and benefits are. But then I think the second part of that, benefits are not free. I mean, they cost a company a lot of money. And they're costing the employee some money too. And sometimes it's a lot of money, sometimes it's a little, just depending on how the plan is designed. But ultimately, the employer and the employee, they're both spending their dollars. And so we want to make sure that you're buying what suits you. You don't want to buy more than you need, and you don't want to buy less than you need. You need to understand what's offered so you can make the decision that's right for yourself. And so I think that's why you have to communicate. Because otherwise, if you just walk onto a car lot and say, I'll take the blue one, that's not doing you any good.
When you're thinking frontline, how do you approach the communication? Is it different than you're thinking of just like a tech company, for example? What's the approach if it's more of a frontline?
Yeah, I think it's very different. And I always start by asking, where are the employees? And what do they have access to? Not only what they have access to, but what do they naturally use? So, for me, I think of myself, someone who is at a computer the majority of the time. And it's really easy to be able to say, oh, I email that to you. I put that in email. But if that employee is not someone who easily can access their email, maybe like you said, with being frontline, when I think of nurses that are, working the floor, the last thing they're going to do is really take the time to go in and look at their company email. And it can be the same thing from drivers that are delivering products or orders to manufacturing or warehouse employees. It doesn't matter. If they're not sitting in front of the email, the time that they get to the email is probably limited. They may even be sharing the computer or the device. So I think you have to know where they are and how they get their information. And that's the way that you want to communicate it. And I also think there's not one communication strategy. I think you need to combine them because you don't want to forget those employees that are sitting at a computer. That email is great. And if it has links to other information, but I would just say, don't solely rely on that, to think about really where those frontline employees are and what's the best way to reach them and what their preference is. I think that's important too.
In your experience, what are the most valuable tools to help communicate the benefits?
It's probably the silly answer, but truthful answer is it's whatever tool your employees will use. So I would never put one brand over another. And what worked last year may not be what works this year. So I think it's always a work in progress. So I would start by asking employees, where do you go to get any information, not just company information, but any information. And, you know, my husband, for example, he's a YouTube guy. So if there is, you know, it's something that even needs to be done around the house, oh, I'll go on YouTube and someone has already done it. So I often say, you know, for anyone in HR, number one, it doesn't have to be perfect, whatever your method and your tool is. But something that I personally love is Canva. It's a website that you can go on and you can design so many things. You don't have to be a graphic designer. So anyone in HR can hop on, create something, and they make it so easy to record a presentation. I mean, you put it in there very similar to PowerPoint. You click the button and then you have a link and you just make it a private link. And that's something you can email out to employees. You can text to employees, anything along those lines. So Canva is one I recommend. Another is any kind, whether it's a texting service, like Simple Texting, I think is one. Slip Text is another that I've heard of. Trying to get it out, because I think a lot of people do use their phones. Even taking different generations into play, I think more and more people are texting now, and they can appreciate, you know, getting a text and at least looking at it and it referring them somewhere. But another that I like, and I feel like this is a little bit older, but is something like Voxer. I don't know if you're familiar with Voxer. It's a great online walkie-talkie kind of a thing. And again, depending on how many employees you have, but there are ways that you can send out group messages or audio. So being able to literally hit the button and whatever it is that you want to share, you want to announce, to be able to share it that way. And I just saw last night that WhatsApp is another one that will let you set up a group where you can have audio messages, text messages, and those kind of things. So I would just say, be creative. And also don't forget about your broker. You know, if you're someone that has group benefits and you have a broker that's arranging all of that, your broker probably has tools, or your HR software or your payroll service provider. There's so much that's out there. And I think the other big thing too that I don't want to forget to mention is good old fashioned snail mail, by putting a postcard in the mail, putting a one sheet paper and mailing it, because sometimes the employees, they're not the ones that are making the decision about the benefits. It could be their spouse that is like, oh no, here is what we need. Because I think in a lot of households, you kind of have your nerds and your free spirits that go together. So we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to participate in the decision-making process.
There are a couple of things you said in there. There was a lot of good stuff. But one of the things that jumped out at me was it's whatever works. And I find, you know, sometimes it's, We use email and we use Slack or something, or using Teams, and that's what we use. But that might be the people who are in finance and HR at their desks. Whereas you've got people who come into a lunchroom or come into a an area to, you know, pick up their truck and go out, and they might need posters, which might be very old school people, you know, and hard to update, and they might need other ways of mailing, et cetera. And so it's whatever works for getting the message out. And to me, the cost of the effort on communicating these things is almost always worth it. Like, you know what I mean? It's very, you know, if you get your benefits usage up or your recognition program usage up by, you know, 2%, 5%, 10%, and that costs you something, was that worth it?
Right, because you're connecting with that employee, which ultimately is going to increase your retention and your employee satisfaction. And the employees are going to realize that you're listening. And I don't know of employers that offer benefits just to say they offer benefits. I mean, if they're offering benefits, they care about their employees. So we've got to find a way to reach and connect and help the employees understand what's there.
What are the common challenges you find when you're trying to communicate the value of the benefits, and how do you overcome them?
Yeah. So I think, you know, my experience, at least, communicating benefits can be really, really challenging. And there were a few that come to mind when I think about it. The first one I think of is it's very hard to squeeze, let's say, open enrollment. So within HR, you're doing your job every day of the year. You've got your work weeks planned out. Your schedule is already full. Oh, now let's dump open enrollment in there too and do all the things that I'm recommending you do. So that can be overwhelming for the person's, you know, in the HR shoes. But then I also think another challenge is for employees. It can be information overload, that if you are putting all this information out about employee benefits and you have, you know, a date range in which you need to elect your benefit, sometimes that can be very hard for an employee to process. So I think you have that piece. And then I think we touched on this a little bit earlier too. Employees either don't know what they don't know. So I have friends and one just recently, we were talking about deductibles, and she is a smart, brilliant professional woman. And she was like, I don't really know what a deductible is. So how many employees can relate to her? But they're not going to say that. No one wants to look like they don't know what they're talking about. They're afraid to ask questions. So I think that's a challenge too, that we kind of have to help employees to recognize that. But then I think the other part of it is sometimes they think they already know. So then they're like, oh, I don't need to look at this information you're sending because I already know what's going on with it. So I think we've got to take all the assumptions out of the way. And again, just try to put it out there in the way that they can take it in. And I don't know if you asked this or not, but one thing I wanted to mention is, you know, the solution that I have for some of these challenges is I think communicating employee benefits needs to be a year-round thing. We can't just save it for open enrollment. We can't just save it for new hires. I always recommend some kind of a cycle that works for an organization, whether that's you focus on one benefit monthly or maybe with every payday, paycheck kind of a thing. Here's some information on medical. Here's some information on dental. And it doesn't have to be a whole plan as much as it is what's a feature of the plan. And give it to everybody, whether they have the benefit or not, because sometimes they don't know. They don't know what's out there. And, you know, I always like to say, for example, for vision insurance, I can remember my husband and I were first married very young. I knew nothing about benefits. And he's at work. He enrolls in whatever that we did for a few years. And I had went to the eye doctor in the town where my husband worked. And the eye doctor's office was like, oh, you don't have vision insurance. I was like, no. And she said, you know, your husband can get it, right? And I was like, well, he can. What is that? And how do you get that? So it was the doctor's office that brought it. And I wore glasses. Like, that was the only thing that was so crazy. But he and I never thought, oh, is there vision insurance? How does it work? And how would it benefit me? And we've had it ever since.
Amazing, amazing. I feel like we've talked a bit about this already, but the difference of communication for frontline versus head office staff or office staff, do you approach the strategy with different modes for different groups? Like, do you approach it and say, okay, we'll use this strategy for this group and this strategy for this group, like one for the frontline, one for the office, one for the plant? Like, is it different? Does it differ?
You know, I think the typical HR answer really is it depends. And I think because there's no one perfect way to do it, because it's very easy to say, oh, you know what, the office employees, they're sitting at a computer every day, we can just email the information and they're going to be fine with it. But then we're also putting a lot of assumptions in there at the same time. We assume that, you know, just because they are in an office space, that's how they take in information, that's how they process information. So on one hand, I would say, don't communicate differently but at the same time, communicate intentionally. So maybe it's not so much the method of the communication, but it's what's in the communication. And I also would not exclude everybody. So if you're going to send an email, which is very important because we can refer back to an email, it can have helpful information in it, whatever the case is, go ahead and send that email to all the employees, regardless of how they work. And then at the same time, if you know, this particular group of employees, like when you mentioned the driver earlier, kind of popping in or whatever, then make sure where your foot traffic is or where the employees hang out, whether it be a break room, a time clock kind of a thing, put some additional information there because your office worker may go to that spot too and see things in a different way or something may catch their eye. Or they may be totally fine with the email. So sort of a yes and no answer to that question.
Recognition can play a crucial role in helping you engage and retain your employees. Check out the Ultimate Employee Recognition Playbook to learn how to implement an impactful program. Go to get.gusto.com/playbook to get your copy.
How do you make benefits a two-way street? What are the best ways to solicit feedback from the frontline workers about your benefits?
I think a lot of factors can go into this as well. I think your culture definitely needs to be one that encourages feedback from employees and that welcomes it. I mean, not only encourages it, but that truly, genuinely welcomes it. And then I think you need to have some methods kind of in place that will allow employees to be able to give that feedback. Or more so, rather than just feedback, just being able to ask questions. So an example that I would give, a lot of times I work with companies maybe that have a remote workforce. So we can be on a Zoom call or a Teams call, something like that. And while everyone is certainly allowed to ask questions, you know, at any point, what I find is sometimes if you just have that chat option turned on during the Zoom meeting, someone is more likely to enter a chat and ask a question. And then if you have someone monitoring that chat, you have the answer there where someone can answer it immediately. And then what I would do is take all of those questions that are asked and almost put together like an FAQs that you can then share with other business. If one person has the question, oftentimes another person has that similar question too. So it's an easy way to build your FAQs to be able to share. And then something else that I think especially is important, like during that open enrollment time, is if you can physically go to where those employees are. And I know that's hard, again, depending on location and where everyone is. If it's, say, a corporate office and you have businesses around the nation, that could be a little bit more challenging. But if you can't be there physically, then try to be there when it is they're working, whether maybe it's just virtual office hours or something where you're able to say, hey, I'm going to be sitting here in Zoom from this time to this time. It might not be my normal HR workday, but maybe it's literally like one evening from 7 to 10 at night or whatever, where you're trying to catch some other shifts or something to make it available. And then again, there are, when I mentioned earlier, those texting services. Some of them are two-way texting. So you can send out a text highlighting a piece of the benefit, whether it's the medical insurance or the dental. Hey, does anyone have a question about this? And that's almost prompting them to, I've been meaning, to ask that question. I think surveys are another great way to be able to do it too. And I always want to caution people, it doesn't have to be perfect and it doesn't have to be pretty. You are just trying to give that vehicle to get this interaction going. And then the other thing I wanted to mention too, before I forget, talking about this communication, not everyone has English as their first language. So I think you need to be aware of that too, to make sure that you have different ways for someone to be able to communicate, even in the written form. And again, not just email, it's got to be where they are. So if they're texting from their phone, set it up. If it's a Google Doc, it can be sent out through a text message. They can reply to the survey and send it back. You just have to be intentional with it.
Communication is such an integral part. I mean, as an HR professional, we can design, and a lot of us like designing plans and being smart about how they work and making sure that the plan is effective and it can be useful to the employees we're designing it from. And that's, whether that's in benefits or in comp or in other areas of it. But communications often is where these plans fall a part, right? Is it's, you know, it's getting the usage and the people understand the plan and participating, for me, is always the hardest part of these plans. And so I think what we've talked about today is critical in terms of not sparing the time. You know, you can't spare enough time. Sorry, I'm saying that wrong. But you can't spend enough time on the communication.
You really can't. You almost have to intentionally over-communicate, because I think one of two things happen. If you, when you're intentional about the communication and you are sharing information, not just plan design, but I think if you can incorporate it in some kind of a story, that helps too, because again, you want to connect with the employee. And oftentimes, if I'm meeting with new employees, I will give an example, almost like age related a little bit, like we said earlier, that single, young, healthy person may not need to have flexible spending because there is the risk of using it or losing it. But if I can say, here are a couple of examples of someone that benefits from using this, that employee can either connect with that fictional person and say, oh, then it might help me, or the opposite. They go, oh yeah, I'm totally different. I don't need that benefit. So I think that's one piece of that over-communicating. But then the second piece is, even if what you are saying and sharing that employee has already heard before, they in their brain are going to go, oh, I know this. I remember when he or she said this last time. And so you're validating the information they have, which ultimately is improving their own confidence, because we have to help employees realize they need to be their own advocate when it comes to any kind of medical care they're receiving, and being able to ask those questions. So the more confident we can help that employee be in understanding their benefits and understanding their elections, the more confident they're going to be when they're out seeking care, which is ultimately one of the most important things. We want employees to live really good lives. And as you can tell, I'm just a little bit passionate about that.
No, I love it. I mean, if you're not passionate, why do it, right? So yes. That's perfect.
Exactly.
Amazing. I appreciate your time today. I think people out there who are listening to this, hopefully the people who are listening to this podcast got some good information, and not even just got good information, but added to their thought process as they approached their plans, as they approached their benefits and their communication. Where can people find more, you know, reach out to you and talk to you more about, you know, communication of benefits?
Yeah, I would love to talk to anybody and encourage them to do something is better than doing nothing. I'm on all social media. It's at Carver Connections. And then my website is carverconnections.com. And I'm happy to talk with anyone. And if it's even people just wanting to bounce some ideas off of me or get some insight, I would love to help any way that I could.
Amazing. Perfect. I appreciate your time today, and thank you for taking the time to join us on the podcast today. And hopefully you can join us in the future. We love talking to people about their experience and about helping other HR professionals build their program.
Thanks for listening. If you got some value from this podcast and want to help other companies improve their culture, be sure to follow us and leave a rating and a review. Better yet, help us get the word out and share this show with your colleagues and peers. Mucho gusto.